solo. Scared I might slip away. Sometimes I just feel so lost, but I know that I'll find my way. Oh, I cannot lie, it's hard sometimes, I lose my mind. Constant whispers in my head, temptations I defy. But I know that if I lose your guidance, I'll go blind. That is why I need you. Oh, show me the way. Oh, don't let me stray. Oh, I need you. Oh, I beg you. Oh, take me out of darkness into your light. I know I gotta stay strong. Times I've been so wrong, but I know I can make that change. Oh, I cannot lie, it's hard sometimes, I lose my mind. Constant whispers in my
head. Yes, I'll be staying strong every day, and that's what we'll be discussing about today, Islam in our lives. You are welcome back. If you are just joining us, you are on to Everyday Muslim on 91.7 FM Women Radio. Everyday Muslim is powered by MPAC in collaboration with Women Radio, and of course, is open to sponsorship and advert placements. Join me in welcoming our regular guest, a friend of the house, my Sheikh, Imam Taufik Busari Abu Labiba, to the show. Assalamu alaikum wa barakatuh, Imam.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakullah khairan for having you here again.
Ameen wa antum fa jazakumullah khairan. It's my pleasure.
Thank you, jazakullah khairan. Imam Abu Labiba Taufik Busari is the director of Darul Shahada Islamic Center, Ota Ogun State. Quran tutor of the University, Christian University, Abeokuta, Ogun State. Yeah, so our topic of today, reflecting Islam in our daily lives. That's our major topic. And we will be discussing how we can embody the teachings of Islam in our actions, decisions, and interactions. Practically, let's look at this. Imagine you're at work and a colleague makes a mistake that affects your project. How do you want to reflect Islam in that scenario? Of course, if you want to reflect Islam, you need to approach it with patience and kindness. Instead of reacting with frustration, you offer constructive feedback and support. By doing all this, you are embodying the Islamic principles of compassion and forgiveness. By integrating these teachings into our everyday lives, we are not only strengthening our own iman, that's our faith, as well in the Quran. That's Quran 2 verse 43, Surah Al-Baqarah. And be steadfast in prayer. Practice regular charity. Bow down your heads with those who bow down in worship. But we will also be spreading positivity and understanding to those around us. As found in the hadith of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which says, the best among you are those who have the best manners and character. This can also be found in Sahih Bukhari. These quotes highlight the importance of prayer, charity, and good character in reflecting Islam in our lives. Stay tuned as we explore more ways to bring the beauty of Islam into our daily routines. And of course, Hijra is just around the corner, 1446. If you are just joining us, you are listening to Everyday Muslim on 91.7 FM, Women Radio. And of course, we are happy they are joining us in this conversation. Like every other one, it promises to be educating, enlightening, and thought-provoking. Our phone lines will be open shortly for calls. Dial 07000-917-917. 07000-917-917. And for SMS or WhatsApp messages, 07031756537. 07031756537. Imam, you are welcome once again.
Thank you very much.
Looking at it, 1445 is rounding up, and we are approaching 1446, inshallah, God Allah, tomorrow. What is the significance of Hijra in the Islamic calendar, and why is it considered a watershed event for Muslims?
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa mawala. We give thanks to Allah. We beseech His blessings upon the noblest of mankind, Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, his household, his companions, and all those that tread his path to the day of reckoning. Once again, it's my pleasure being here to share the message of Al-Islam. And may Allah continue to empower Impact for this beautiful, effort. May Allah accept it as an act of pristine worship.
Amen.
I need to first clear a misconception around Hijrah and Islamic calendar. These two things, they differ. Hijrah is separate. Islamic calendar is separate. Not being able to separate it is what is making some people feel that Islamic calendar is just short dated with 1,445 years ago, thinking that that's when the Islamic calendar started. And that's a wrong notion. It's a wrong understanding of the Islamic calendar. Islamic calendar has been in existence since Allah created the heavens and the earth. We need to understand this. And Allah told us this in Surah At-Tawbah, verse 36. Ayah 36, where Allah said, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن عدة الشهور عند الله 12 شهرا في كتاب الله يوم خلق السماوات والأرض منها أربعة حرم ذلك الدين القيم فلا تظلموا فيهن أنفسكم. الله سبحانه وتعالى said, إن عدة الشهور عند الله 12 شهرا في كتاب الله. Surely the counting of months to Allah is 12. 12 months. Fi kitabillah. It had been in the book of Allah, documented in the book of Allah. That is Lawil Mahfuz. The book of Allah, it has been there. Yawma khalaqa as-samawati wal-ard. Since Allah created the heavens and the earth. Minha arba'atun hurum. And we have four of them that are sacred. So, what we want to bring out from there is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made us know that the number of months, the Islamic calendar, has been in existence since the time Allah created the heavens and the earth. And definitely, it is not 1,445 years ago that Allah created heavens and the earth. I hope my message is clear.
Yes, sir.
So, the misconception, thinking that the Islamic calendar is just so number of years, so no, it had been there. Even Nabila Adam met it, our forefather met it like that, and that is why all the prophets of God, all the messengers of God, had their activities surrounding the 12 months from Muharram to Dhul Hijjah. If you recall that when the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam got to Medina, he met the people of the Jews. He met them fasting on the
tenth day of Muharram. And he asked them, why are you fasting on the tenth day of Muharram? They said that that was the day Allah saved Musa and his people from Fir'aun and his company. So, which means that since the time of Nabiullah Musa, Muharram had been in existence. Mm-hmm. For them to know that it is Muharram 10. Mm-hmm. We just concluded the Hajj activity. May Allah mm-hmm. accept the Hajj of all Hujjaj.
Amen.
And those that are yet to return, may Allah bring them back safely.
Amen.
So, you will see that the activity is always in Dhul-Hijjah, the major rites of Hajj. Even though the intention can commence since Shawwal, but the major rites of Hajj itself is there in Dhul-Hijjah, from the 8th day of Dhul-Hijjah till the 13th day of Dhul-Hijjah. So it has been there since Dhul-Hijjah, and the activities of Hajj, you will see that it is in line with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had instructed Nabiullah Ibrahim to do since that time. Is what Allah revived. You know, it was not even dead after the demise of Nabiullah Ibrahim. It continued, just that it had been disrupted. You know, mm-hmm. they started doing it in different ways. Then Allah used Nabiullah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to return it back to the way Allah wanted it. So that means since the time of Nabiullah Ibrahim, Dhul-Hijjah too had been in existence. So then, why the link? Why do we call it Hijriya? Why do we use the Hijra calendar? Because that's what will be the next question. If we say there are two different things, the Islamic calendar is separate. The Hijra activity, that is the migration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Mecca to Medina, is a separate event. So what's now the link? The link is this. Before Hijra, even when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born, this counting had been there. Before then, all those times, there were no specific counting. They were not making counting of the year. They were only reckoning with the months mm-hmm. and days. No counting of the years, that this is year one, year two, year three. Obviously, if it had been counted even since during the time of Nabiullah, Adam, now we would have lost count. Because how many years would we have counted since then till now? So even during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was born, you will see that they do call it Amul Fil, the year of elephant.
Yeah.
That's what you will hear. Anytime they want to talk about when the Prophet was born, they will say the Prophet was born in the year of elephant. Because during that time, they were only attaching the years to events of that year, major events of that year. So that would be the tag for that year. They will say year of so and so. So that would be the tag of that year. So every month in that year will be attached to that occurrence. They will say year of the elephant. So Muharram of the year of elephant. Dhul-Hijjah of the year of elephant. So that's how they've been doing this counting, even till the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away. During the time of Abu Bakr, it was also like that. During the time of Sayyidina Umar, when he started, it was like that. But some issues, now at that time, Islam had spread beyond the shores of the Arabian Peninsula. Issues had started coming up. For example, somebody loaning money from you and now saying, I will pay back in Shawwal. Now, it's Shawwal, you now go to the person that, please pay me back my money. And I said, I didn't say it's Shawwal of this year.
Wow.
I mean Shawwal of next year. But he mentioned Shawwal. You understand? Now, Shawwal of which year are you referring to? So a lot of controversy had now been coming with, dating system and the likes. So they had to write to the Amir al-Mu'minin. That was Abu Sayyidina Umar at that time. So they had to write to him to tell him that, let us standardize our counting.
Mm.
Since this thing is now going beyond our shores. So the governors wrote to Sayyidina Umar bin the Amir. So now he had a meeting, he consulted people, and they had a communique. From that communique, a lot of suggestions were made that, okay, let's attach the counting now to this particular event. Now, they said, some said, let's attach it to when the Prophet was born. Some advised that let's attach it to when the Prophet was made the Prophet of God. Then some said these, different suggestions. And some said, let's attach it to when Battle of Badr happened, when the Prophet died, and things like that. One of it was now attaching it to Hijrah, when the Prophet migrated from Mecca to Medina.
Hmm.
So Sayyidina Umar now approved that of Hijrah, that was when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finally established the Islamic State, separated Islam from Kufr completely.
Mm-hmm.
So they now started the counting. You know, at that time the Prophet was no more. So they now backdated, okay, when was it that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated from Mecca to Medina? It was so year. So we make that year one. So the following year, year two, the next year. So it means the Prophet died in the 11th year. So it means the Prophet, you understand?
Yeah.
So they now continued like that till the counting got to our time.
Alhamdulillah.
So I hope we now understand what brought about the link. Hijrah is a separate thing. The counting is also a separate thing. What brought about the link is just to ease reference and counting. That's all.
Jazakallah khairan. Thank you very much, Imam. A lot of clarification, and it has been gotten. If you are just joining us, you are on to Everyday Muslim on 91.7 FM. You can also join us live on IG Everyday Muslim 01. Imam, linking it up with our topic of today, reflecting Islam in your life, in our life. It's not just your life, but it's everybody's life. I would like you to give a brief of Hijrah, why we are reflecting Islam in our lives, and how it can be part and parcel, the steps that Muslims can take to make it part and parcel of their lives in our daily activities, behaviors, and interactions.
Thank you very much. The two situations, both the counting and the events that had been linked to standardize the counting, that is, the year itself, the month, by Allah, Muharram to Dhul Hijjah, and our own reference, reckoning of counting to the Hijriya, after the Hijrah of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from Mecca to Medina, both of them have things to do with our lives. Look at the Islamic counting itself, the lunar calendar itself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in that same verse I quoted initially, Surah Tawbah, ayah 36, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when he was explaining those months, he said, ذَلِكَ الدِّينُ الْقَيِّمُ. This is the upright religion. That is, counting of those months is part of our faith, is part of our religion. So we have to uphold it to make our religion stronger, to make our faith complete. Not reckoning with it is still making your faith incomplete. For example, if we want to fast, we don't have our fasting in the Gregorian calendar. We cannot say, okay, this year we'll be fasting in July. This year, okay, let's make our fast. People will be busy. Let's make it December and the likes. No, it's none of our business. The Islamic calendar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us know that our fasting is the ninth month.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to know that it is the ninth month, not reckoning with the ninth month, makes your deen incomplete. Our Hajj is in the 12th month. Not reckoning with it is incomplete. And so on. We have months from the lunar calendar that are, what's it called? Sacred. As Allah said, He said, Minha arba'atun hurum. We have four sacred months. What are these sacred months? You must know them. We have Dhul-Qa'dah, Dhul-Hijjah, Muharram. These three follow one another. Then we have Rajab between the two Jumadayn. That's four. Those are the four sacred months. Allah said, فَلَا تَذْلِمُوا فِيهِنَّ أَنفُسَكُمْ. In all the months, you are not to oppress anyone or do any misdeed or wrongdoing towards anybody, most especially these 4 months. These 4 months, you have to be extra careful in your dealings with people. You must not wrong them. In fact, when wars are being fought, you stop fighting war. You must not launch attack towards anybody in those 4 months. Mm. So a Muslim must understand this. It is part of our faith. We have to reflect on this. Also, if a woman dies Islamically, you know, she has to stay for 4 months and 10 days mm-hmm. as a mourning period, Iddah. We call it Iddah, observing our Iddah. So that's the period she will use to mourn her husband. It must not go beyond that. Mm. Mourning of a widow is 4 months and 10 days. Every other person, your mourning should not be more than 3 days. Mm. You don't mourn anybody beyond 3 days. But for a widow, she will honor her husband and mourn her husband for 4 months and 10 days. These 4 months and 10 days should be counted using the Islamic calendar. The lunar calendar.
Wow.
Not the Gregorian. As against the practice of a lot of people, we are making a mistake. Iddah is part of our deen, and your deen is as a count in itself. It is the Islamic calendar, lunar calendar, as Allah kept it. ذَلِكَ الدِّينُ الْقَيِّمُ. Your deen would be upright if you use it to count. So we use the Islamic calendar to count the Iddah of a woman. So those that have been making such mistakes should reflect on this and make corrections. Mm. Most of us, the time we were born, if you ask somebody now, he might tell you, how old are you? He will tell you, I am 40 years. To Allah, you are more than 40.
Allahu Akbar.
To you are 40. To Allah, you are more than 40. Because you used a particular counting for you to think you are 40. But the counting of Allah, you are more than 40. If you reckon with your birth, your date of birth, through the Islamic calendar, you will see that you are more than the age you claim.
Hmm.
So, and you would not have your deen upright until you reckon with this. We have to reflect on this.
Hmm.
So when we are taking account of the date of birth of our children and everything, we have to reckon with the date.
Hmm.
That Islamic calendar, when were they born? That is the day he or she was born to Allah. And the day someone dies in the Islamic calendar is the day the person died to Allah.
Hmm.
Allah does not know any other one apart from this.
Hmm.
I hope this is understood.
Yes.
So it is not palatable. In fact, so preposterous to hear when you ask a Muslim what's today's date, and he will have to look up and down, left and right, before he can be able to tell you that today's date is 38th Dhul-Hijjah. He doesn't know the date. He doesn't know it. And that's why a lot of people now turn to sheikhs when Ramadan is coming. Everybody will turn to sheikhs. How can you wait for Sultan? How can you wait for this? And Saudi has sighted the moon. They said they sighted the moon in so place. You know? Do you think it's only Ramadan we sight the moon for? Where have you been when we've been sighting the moon for the previous months?
Mm.
Why have you been quiet?
Mm.
How have you been determining the beginning of each of those months? Why have you been quiet?
Mm.
So our deen will not be complete until we reckon with the counting of Allah. So if we've been reckoning with it, all of us, there'll be no issue during the commencement of Ramadan. Because the month, according to Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, is 29 or 30. When it's 29, you search the moon. If it is cloudy, it is, covered for you. It's not that it is there, it is not there. It is there, but you are prevented from seeing it due to weather conditions.
Mm.
Then you are to count that month to be 30, like what is happening now. We expected that the month will be the new moon will be sighted last night for us to commence Muharram today. But the Sultan declared that there was no report of sighting of the moon.
Mm-hmm.
So which means we have to count our Zulhijjah to be 30. A lot of people do not know that today is even Zulhijjah 30 because it's not Ramadan. And it's part of our faith. Our faith is not complete until we do this. So when it continues like that, the crescent will keep getting bigger and bigger. Then in the middle of the month, you see it as a full moon. So when you see a full moon in the sky, it's telling you that we are in the middle of the Islamic calendar month. So that's 13, 14, 15, which we call it Ayyam Ubid, the white days.
Hmm.
We have fasting there too. You fast. The Prophet encouraged us to fast 13, 14, 15 of every lunar month, which will have the reward of fasting for the entire month. A lot of us don't know. How do we determine the middle? It is when we have the full moon. So 13, 14, 15, in exception of Zulhijjah, that fasting on the 13th of Zulhijjah is haram. You don't fast. Eating is the ibadah on that 13th. You have to eat. It's a day of eating and drinking. So you exempt 13, then you can fast 14 and 15 for Zulhijjah. So these are part of our faith. Then if we link it back to what's it called, Hijrah too, the occurrence of Hijrah, the activity of Hijrah has a lot of significance too in our lives. When we talk about Hijrah, we have three types. We have Hijratul Makan, and it can be Takunu Lil Amal, it can be Hijrah of deed. The first one, Hijratul Makan, Hijrah of place, moving, migration from one place to the other.
Okay.
Then we have migration from one action to the other. It can be of action. Then watakunu lil amil, and it can also be migration, deserting somebody, someone that has done something wrong. You desert him for a certain period to call his attention to the wrong he has done. Hijrah can be in these three phases. The hijrah the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did from Mecca to Medina is hijrah of place. Hijrah of, deserting a place for a better place. A Muslim leaves a location where he is not permitted or allowed or free to carry out his Islamic activities freely. He would leave that place to a place where he would have Islamic freedom. And that was exactly what happened to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet and the Muslims, the companions, were really persecuted. They were really, they were brutalized. A lot of things were done to them there in Mecca simply because they said Allah is one.
Imam.
The first migration was from Mecca to Habasha, not to Medina. But the Prophet was not part of that. It was only the companions that did that. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the one he did was to Medina. That was the third migration in the Islamic history of the Ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Jazakallahu khairan, Imam. Thank you very much. If you're just joining us, you're on to Everyday Muslim on 91.7 FM. Our phone lines are now open for calls 07000-917-917, 07000-917-917. For SMS or WhatsApp, 07030-317-56537. Imam, before you move forward, you mentioned Muharram as one of the sacred months. And
yeah.
Can you explain this one of these months and how we can utilize this? Implies them for our spiritual growth.
Alhamdulillah. Muharram is referred to as Shahrullahi al-Muharram, the month of Allah, the sacred. In all the months, there is no month linked to Allah directly and called the month of Allah except Muharram. It shows how significant that month is. It is a month that we are expected to be full of fasting. You are not to fast the entire month, but you are expected to, you know, engage in a lot of fasting. More of those days should be of fasting. If you want to take the first 10 days of Muharram, it's good. You want to take some other days, it's good. You want to do it in alternate days, like that of, Nabiullah Dawud, that is fasting, today fasting every other day. You fast today, you eat tomorrow, you fast tomorrow, the next day. So you can do that in this month, Muharram. You can also, if you cannot do that, you can increase your Monday, Thursday fasting. Then you do the 13, 14, 15 of this month. Let it be unique that this month I fasted more in this month than any other month, which is the month of Muharram.
Okay.
Whoever that cannot achieve this, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made us even know that there is a general one that we should encourage ourselves to engage in, which is fasting on the 10th day of Muharram, which is called Ashura. It is the day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala salvaged a lot of prophets of God. A lot, and not only Nabiullah Musa, no. A lot of prophets of God, Allah salvaged them from their difficulties and changed their situation from the difficult times to ease. So it's a day of uniqueness. It's a day of thanking Allah. And it has been even in the practice of the prophets before Nabiullah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to fast on the 10th day of Muharram to thank Allah. Now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam trying to make our ummah, his own nation, stand out from the practice of other nations, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged us to add more days to that 10. Instead of 10 alone. Okay. So you can make it
okay,
9 and 10, which is Tasu'a on the 9 or 10.
Imam, I would like to break you there. So sorry, we have a caller on the line.
All right.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Okay, good morning, everyday Muslim.
Good morning, you are welcome. Your name and where are you calling from?
Yes, this is Mr. Yusuf Olamileko Adedeo. I'm calling from Alatoko Lagos.
Okay. Your question?
I greet our Ustaz for giving us enlightenment on Hijra. My question is this. Is there any reward one will get in making emphasis on, you know, using Islamic Hijra calendar or to mention one date of birth, as in somebody born on this day, 30th of Dhul-Hijjah. Yes, saying that I'm born on 30th of Dhul-Hijjah instead of saying I'm born on 7th of July. So, is there any reward attached to it?
Okay.
Yes, inshallah, there will be reward attached to that. Because you are reckoning with it, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that ذَلِكَ الدِّينُ الْقَيِّمُ. Reckoning with it is the upright religion. Is the upright religion. And whatever Allah calls a form of the religion, a form of worship, then it is expected that a reward is attached to it.
Okay, again, sir. So, do I need to now celebrate my birthday or mark it on that very day?
No.
I'm using that Islamic calendar. Okay.
This has nothing to do with celebration. It has nothing to do with celebration of birthdays or thereabout, no. It's just reckoning with it as the day you were born.
Okay.
Reckoning with it as a form of counting. You know, reckoning with the day as with it as a form of counting. Someone that wants to do Idda, reckoning with it. A woman, even having a menstrual flow, should is encouraged to also use the lunar calendar to calculate her flows. You know, it makes her religion upright, and she gets more reward for doing this.
Wow, Imam, lots of calculation. I think I'll be coming back to you. Maybe off camera, you'll be able to tell us how you can calculate backwards, because I don't know. This is a lot of work to selling. Jazakallah khairan. Imam, what role does our intention play reflecting Islam, and how can we ensure that our intentions are pure and align with our actions?
Sorry, quickly permit me to wrap up what
I
was saying
true.
Before.
Yes, that's true.
So, you are encouraged to make it 9 and 10, or you make it 10 and 11, or you make it 9, 10, 11. So all these are allowed and permitted, and the more you do it, the more your reward. So this part of that's part of the significance of Muharram. And Muharram also is one of the sacred months that has been created specifically that we need to be extra careful in our dealings with our Lord, dealings with the creatures of God, even up to animals. We have to be very careful up to animals, the plants and everyone. We have to be very careful in our dealings with them so that we don't transgress the limits of Allah during that time. Scholars told us one of the significance, the wisdom behind making this month sacred. It is also said that it's part of efforts of Allah to make Hujjaj, those that have gone for Hajj, to make them be in good condition, in safe conditions, and return back home in safe condition. The month they would travel, Dhul-Qa'dah, Allah made it sacred. The month they would practice the acts of Hajj, which is Dhul-Hijjah, Allah made it sacred for them to be safe and secured. And the month they will return back home, which is Muharram, Allah also made it sacred so that they will not fear any attack from anyone and return back to their houses safely. So that's regarding the previous question. Now, the new question you raised regarding our intention, there is this famous hadith that we mostly know in the book of Imam An-Nawawi. He narrated this hadith. In fact, Imam An-Nawawi would not write any book. In all the books he had written, you will see him starting those books with this singular hadith. That's the hadith narrated by Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. That his actions are in accordance with, what's it called, the intention. وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ مْرِئِمْ مَا نَوَى. And everyone, you won't separate intention from action. No. Intention and action will be joined together. There must be a link between the two. Don't say, only consider my intention, don't look at my action. No. Your action and your intention must be in conformity. If you have good intention, then the action too must be good. If your action is good, the intention behind it too must be good. So those two go together. If your intention is good and action is not good, is a multiplier effect. The reward will be zero. The reward will be zero. And that's what that hadith is teaching us. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam further explained there, he said, فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِجْرَتُهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Whoever that intended to do hijrah for the sake of Allah and his messenger and ended up following up with action to do hijrah for the sake of Allah and his messenger, then it will be accepted for the sake of Allah and his messenger. It will be rewarded for the sake of Allah and his messenger. But someone that intended to do hijrah, his own intention is to for worldly benefit. But what you can see, you don't know his intention. What you can see is that, he followed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to migrate from Mecca to Medina. Allah will not get it wrong. It is only what is visible to you. What is visible to Allah, Allah has seen both the intention and the action. Mm-hmm. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, he will be rewarded whatever intention that made him carry out the hijrah is what will make him is what Allah will reward him based on that. So those that did it for the sake of Allah will get the reward for the sake of Allah. The significance of intention is that it helps us to do tamyiz, that is separate between actions. It differentiates for us between when one is doing obligatory act and supererogatory act, voluntary act. What separates it is intention. I might stand up now observing four rak'ahs, another person standing up to observe four rak'ahs, another person standing up to observe four rak'ahs, and we might all be the same action, but intention differentiates all of us. I might be observing a zuhur. Another person may be observing asir. Another person may be observing nafila before before asir. Do you understand?
Yes,
Imam. All of us doing the same action, but our intention differentiated everything. I hope my point is clear.
Yes.
So that's one of the significance of intention. Somebody might take water now and start washing his body. Are you with me? If he didn't have the intention of performing ablution, he has not performed ablution. Another person will do the same action, washing his body, but since he had the intention of, I am performing ablution, he will say, I am in the state of ablution. The same action, but what differentiated them? It is intention. So intention plays a significant role, and we should not always say that my intention is good. For example, Allah has granted somebody, has blessed him with a car. He now says, Imam, please go ahead with your salah this morning. I am not observing two raka'at. I am observing 12 raka'at. Ah, why? He said, Allah has blessed me and I want to thank Allah. So two raka'at of subuhi, that is Fajr prayer, the early morning prayer, will be too small for me to thank Allah. I want a 12 raka'at. What intention does he have? He wants to thank Allah. Is it a good intention? Yes. What does he want to use to thank Allah? He wants to use ibadah, a form of worship. Is it a good thing? Yes. How does he now want to do it? He wants to observe 12 raka'at of Fajr prayer. Is there a precedence for it? Is there a record that we can do that? No. Then the action will become null and void. You can see. Because that hadith has a qarina, as one hadith that works side by side with it, the two hadith work together. And that's the hadith 5 of An-Nawawi, in that book of An-Nawawi 2, that we had the Prophet ﷺ narrated by Mother Aisha, where she said, Man ahadatha fi amrina hadha. That the Prophet said, Man ahadatha fi amrina hadha, whoever does anything in these affairs of ours, that is in Islam, ma laysa minhu, what has not been there. He invented something and we looked at it. There is no precedence for it in terms of worship. In terms of worship, an act of worship, we cannot find a precedence for it. For who are not due, the Prophet said it will be rejected of him.
Hmm.
It will be rejected. So intention is not enough. In another riwayah, it says, Man amila amalan, laysa alayhi amruna, fahuwa raddu. Whoever does any action, that he doesn't have our permission over it. It's not that the book of Allah permitted you. It's not that the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam permitted you. You didn't find any of the companions doing such. Any of the past predecessors, fahuwa raddu, it will be rejected. So, niya, intention is not enough.
Hello, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Please, can you reduce the volume of your radio set?
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, welcome to the show. Your name and where are you calling from?
My name is Adeni Kayuso.
You're welcome.
I'm calling from Iba.
You're welcome.
The man said, he's saying about the woman that is mourning her husband. You spend 4 months and how many days in the house before leaving, because I'm just bereaved of my own husband.
May Allah forgive
sorry
him.
Sorry about that.
So sorry about that. May Allah forgive him and grant him al-Jannah Firdaus. He said 4 months and 10 days.
4 months and 10 days.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much. God bless you.
I mean, may Allah be with you.
Okay.
Jazakallah khairan.
Thank you. Okay.
We commiserate with the bereaved over this. We commiserate with you, madam, and your entire family over your loss. May Allah grant you to the fortitude Amen. To bear the loss. Amen. And may Allah make you steadfast and grant you a better replacement of what has been lost. We hope and expect that your husband that died as a Muslim. And we hope that Allah would accept his return. And grant him his pleasure, make his grave a good abode for him, widen it for him, and make him a dweller of Jannah.
Amen. Amen. Jazakallah khairan. Imam, thank you very much.
Alhamdulillah.
As a community, we need to support each other.
Now,
how do we then make these positive changes and make it reflect the true essence of Islam? Because it's not about just one person doing it, but it's about the community also accepting it and joining hands. You know, when you're just one person doing something, I would just see it as your own is too much. What you are doing is this, what you are doing is that. As a community, how do we come together and show the world the true essence of Islam? How does it reflect in us as a community?
We can do this like the companions did. And it is done congregationally. Individually is not possible. We have to join hands together to achieve the best, to make positive changes. When the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam left Makkah and he got to Medina, the first thing the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam established was communal relationship. He established a communal relationship with the existing community he met. They agreed on terms of their living together. They agreed on the codes that would bind their living together, how they would coexist in peace. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did this, even though those people he met in Medina and they lived together weren't Muslims. And they achieved this till some of them breached some of these laws, and the law had to take its course by evicting them out of the place because they had breached this communal agreement. What I'm trying to bring out there is that we need to put hands together to have good support wherever we are. And you will see that the companions, they all came together and, achieved a single goal. And how would we have communal this thing together? It starts with individual conviction. Individually, we must be convinced that we want to achieve a positive change. Mm-hmm. Everybody has this responsibility. Are you with me, please?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Everybody has this responsibility. And that's why when I was explaining types of hijrah the other time, I told you that there's hijrah of action.
Mm-hmm.
The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said there will be no hijrah after Fatwa Makkah. He was referring to, leaving Makkah, that there will be no need to leave Makkah anymore. He was not saying that there will be no need for hijrah anymore. Hijrah continues because in another narration, he said, La tanqati' al-hijrah hatta tanqati' al-tawbah. Hijrah will not stop until tawbah stops from Allah. And tawbah will not stop. The door of tawbah will not be closed until hatta takhurja shams min maghribiha, until the sun starts rising from where it sets. That's when the door of tawbah will be completely closed. That means the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is telling us that we all have a duty of hijrah, everybody. And what's the hijrah? The hijrah of action. You leaving what God does not want to what God wants. we all have this responsibility to carry out, every one of us. Living, you need to assess yourself. Hasibu anfusakum qabla an tuhasabu. You need to put yourself to reckoning before Allah will call you to reckoning yourself. You are winding down this year now, 1445. What have you achieved? What has been your impact in your community positively? Immediate community positively. How have you impacted people? What have you done rightly? Then make us know what that is. Analyze yourself, within yourself, the things you have done wrongly. Know them. Learn from those mistakes and move on. Make a resolution that, Allah, I'm sorry. I will not do this again. Because now you're about to open another page. How much, what have you written on this page now that you want to turn to another page? How much have you filled this page righteously now that you want to turn to the other page? And the moment the page is turned over, you can't say, sorry, I forgot to write something in the last page, let me turn it back. No, you can't do that anymore. It is already in your record, it's your record like that. If we all have this personal conviction towards goodness, towards impacting people every day, putting smile on people's face, being the sabab, the reason for people's comfort, people's happiness, if we'll all have this conviction together, then it will be easy for us to have a good community and have a good impact in the community. But it starts with individual. Have it within yourself. I want to be the reason for somebody's comfort today. I want to be the reason for somebody's smile today. I want to be the reason for somebody's success today. In the process of you seeking other people's success for them, helping them to get their success, you will find more than your own success. You will find more than your own success even on the road. But if you are only particular about your own success, you might not find it, because somebody might have found it but neglected it the way you neglected the one you also saw. It is for all of us to be the watcher of everybody's back. Let's seek the success of another person. As you pick the success of somebody and you give it to him, somebody might locate your own too and bring it to you. May Allah guide us aright.
Ameen. Jazakallah khairan. Thank you very much, Imam. I would have loved you to touch on the Muhajirun and the Ansar, that in their lesson.
Briefly, I can quickly just 1 minute. Within a minute or two.
Just 1 minute, Imam.
The Muhajirun and the Ansar. When we want to talk about true brotherhood in Islam, you go and understand the impact of the Muhajirun and Ansar on one another. When the Muhajirun got to Medina, they had nothing, simply nothing, because they left their wealth, everything, they left them back in Mecca. But the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when they got to Medina, started pairing them with the Muhajirun, the Ansar, the helpers. You know what they do? What they did? They started sharing their property into two, started sharing their things into two, sharing with their brothers to make them comfortable, to make them, to the extent that those that have more than a wife were ready to, they will bring out their wife, pick one of them, just tell me it is this one you want and I'll divorce her for you. The Prophet said, no, don't do that. It is not up to that level. If you have a sister or a daughter in a marriable age, then give to your brothers to marry. It was to that extent. So we have a lot to learn from them in terms of brotherhood. May Allah show His blessings and His mercy upon them all.
Ameen, ameen. Jazakallah khairan, Imam Abu Labiba. Jazakallah khairan for coming on to the show. We really appreciate it. Out of your tight schedule, you are always here for us. Before signing off, I would like to remind our listeners out there, don't forget to like, share, and follow us on IG and Facebook. Our username is EverydayMuslim01. And of course, to view our past episodes on Everyday Muslim, go to mpac-ng.org, scroll down and click on MPAC Projects. Nakwana goes to WFN and MPAC for this program. A big thank you to our engineer Michael and my producer Aisha. Thank you to all our esteemed listeners for joining on us today's journey into reflecting Islam in our daily lives. Remember that it is little by little that makes a change. It's not something that is sudden, but consistency really matters. Our actions, our prayer, kindness, charity, and a good character. That's what is going to embody Islam and, of course, make a positive impact on those around us. Stay inspired, stay connected, and continue to spread peace and understanding. As we welcome under Hijra 1446 tomorrow, remember to take a self-Hijra, as Imam have said, by reflecting Islam in your own daily lives. I am Rashida Aditu Okeolanio. Signing off until next week, same time, same station. Masalam, and enjoy the rest of your weekend with the Nasheed by Mazin. Titled, Peace Be Upon You.
There's faith in my world. It comes back to your teachings and all your words. From your life I have learned to be patient and caring at every turn. The reason I'm strong, you're where I belong. In a world spinning out of control, the reason for my pride, you are my guide. And I will always follow your way, your way, your way. Oh, alayka sallallahu, oh Muhammad. Peace and blessings on you every day. Alayka sallallahu, oh Muhammad. You inspire me in every way. I promise that wherever I go, whenever I pray, I'll be sending you praise with the words that I say. Rasulullah, oh Muhammad, peace and blessings on you every day. There's light in my heart, helps me find my way back when I've gone too far. When all my anger makes me blind, I remember your mercy for all mankind. The reason I forgive as long as I live. In a world spinning out of control, the reason I love, I'll never give up. And I will always follow your way. Sallallahu, oh Muhammad. Peace and blessings on you every day. Alayka sallallahu, oh Muhammad. You inspire me in every way. I promise that wherever I go, whenever I pray, I'll be sending you praise with the words that I say. Rasulullah, oh Muhammad. And blessings on you every day. I know the only thing I want from this life, and it's to follow all your footsteps to paradise. So that's the way I'm gonna spend all my time. Yes, I swear by Allah, I swear. Alayka sallallahu, oh Muhammad. Peace and blessings on you every day. Alayka sallallahu, oh Muhammad. You inspire me in every way. Alayka sallallahu, oh Muhammad. Peace and blessings on you every day. Alayka sallallahu, oh Muhammad. You inspire me in every way. I promise that wherever I go, whenever I pray, I'll be sending you praise with the words that I say. Rasulullah, oh Muhammad, peace and blessings on you every day.